Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
Well, the war in Ukraine is just about done. And right now, Putin has offered to spare the lives of all of the Ukrainian soldiers in the Kursk region if they lay down their arms and surrender peacefully. And he's guaranteed they won't be killed. They would be taken prisoner, of course. Which, frankly, is a much better option than being killed on the front lines. I would imagine that a lot of Ukrainian troops right now would gladly take that option because at least, you know, they'll get a meal, they'll get shelter, a place to sleep, not in a dugout bunker, you know, and they won't be dying under artillery and drone attacks. I mean, I think many of the troops, even though they're courageous fighters, I think they realize it's a suicide mission right now, and surrender is a rational option when you are surrounded, and they are surrounded. Now, Putin is absolutely brilliant in offering this because he has forced Ukraine and the West into a position that is very advantageous for Russia. So think about it. Game theory. If the Ukrainian troops surrender, then Russia looks merciful. And those thousands of troops that are currently surrounded in that region then are taken out of play, and Ukraine loses, you know, all of those soldiers from its available forces, which weakens Ukraine's front lines and really spells the beginning of the end of this current military defensive operation by Ukraine. On the other hand, if Ukraine refuses to order a surrender of those troops that are surrounded in Kursk, then Putin will no doubt order that they be, you know, killed, overrun by Russian forces, and he will be able to say, well, we gave them the option to surrender, and it was only reluctantly that we moved ahead with the full military assault here. We didn't want to do that, but Ukraine's leaders gave us no choice. Now, what else is brilliant about this from Putin's point of view is that whether they surrender or don't surrender, either way, these troops are not going to be part of Ukraine's future military operation. If they do surrender, then Putin has, you know, something to trade with for his own prisoners of war. If they don't surrender and the Russian troops go in and kill them all, well, and I know this sounds harsh, but logistically, from a military point of view, that actually makes it easier for Russia's military because they don't have to deploy the logistics of handling the surrender of thousands of soldiers and providing them food and shelter and emergency medical care and all those things that they would be providing. Now, I can't help but draw parallels to the large surrender in, I believe, 1943, the Battle of Stalingrad, and the German Sixth Army was pounding, you know, Russia's western flank. And Germany was trying to move in through Stalingrad, which is a city right on a river. And I regret, I don't know the name of that river, but it's a significant river, large transport feature, and also a very large body of water to try to cross. And the Russian citizens were defending themselves with every last, you know, man, woman, and child. I mean, they were down to the very last. I mean, there were reports of women taking broomsticks and painting them black so that they could appear in building windows and appear to have a rifle. It's just a broomstick, you know? I mean, they fought with knives, you know? They fought with pots and pans. I mean, this is why up to 60 million Russians died in World War II, because they were not well-armed. They were not well-equipped. They had a lot of people, and they threw those people at the Nazi army of the Third Reich, and only by, you know, the thinnest of margins were they able to defeat the Germans. But around Stalingrad, they surrounded and defeated and caused a mass surrender of the German 6th Army. And that army unit, I forgot the exact number of soldiers. I'm thinking it was 100,000 soldiers. I'm not confident in that number. We'll have to look it up, but I'm thinking it was 100,000 soldiers. It might have been 200,000. I don't know. But it was a big number. It was much more than just a few thousand. And that surrender, you can imagine that, you know, the Germans would have fought to the very end, but their supply lines were cut off. And as a result, they had no ammo, no food, no fuel, nothing. That's why the German 6th Army had to surrender. You can imagine that in their surrender, even just being taken prisoner at that time in 1943, after the brutality that the Nazi regime inflicted upon Russia, you can just imagine that many of those prisoners ended up, you know, shot and dead. The ones that survived probably had very little in the way of food or shelter because the Russian people were starving at that time. They didn't have any food to spare. You're not going to, you know, if you're already starving as a population, how much are you going to feed the prisoners of war who were just trying to kill you on Tuesday? You know what I mean? So, but that was 1943. Things are very different now. Russia actually has a reputation, at least to my knowledge, they have a reputation of honoring surrenders and treating those prisoners with some fundamental level of human dignity, of food and shelter. I'm not saying that there aren't war crimes that are committed by Russian soldiers from time to time, or Ukrainian soldiers from time to time, or even U.S. soldiers from time to time, because that's a universal truth of war. Every nation, here and there, their soldiers out in the field where no one's looking, you know, they're committing war crimes sometimes. I mean, this happens in the Middle East too, on every side, right? So that does happen. War is hell. War is bloody. People die. There are abuses. But right now, if you're a Ukrainian soldier facing like a 99% chance of dying versus surrendering and laying down your arms and getting a meal and getting a place to sleep, you know, you're probably going to surrender because you have a shot at living and one day being able to go home. Maybe in just a few months, depending on how quickly this whole thing can be resolved with whatever new agreement is on the table. If Zelensky would sit down and negotiate in good faith, or if they hold new elections, which is probably where this is going, they need some method to have some elected official who can actually sign I'm calling it a surrender, but it's really a truce. Now, this is where it's going to get interesting. Think about it. If Zelensky orders these troops to lay down their arms and surrender, thereby having their lives spared, that seriously is the beginning of the end of Ukraine's military defensive effort. And it puts the UK in a very tricky position because the UK, and frankly, other countries in the EU, are now saying, well, they want to fight a war with Russia. I talked about it yesterday. We did an emergency interview with Steve Quayle on this very topic. The EU is rumored to be planning capital controls to halt all capital outflows, combined with seizing about $10 trillion in assets, you know, bank accounts, and much more all across the EU, and then funneling that money into a wartime effort, weapons manufacturing, etc., in order to fight Russia. But if you look at the reality of that situation, Europe doesn't have the industry to even make all the armored vehicles and to make the aircraft and to make the artillery shells, etc. They don't have the capacity to do that. And even if you say, well, they can take their old car factories and they can rework them, you know, like Volvo factories or whatever, they don't have the energy. They do not have the energy. Why? Well, because the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipelines, of course. And do you think that Gazprom is going to ship energy to Germany if Germany is waging war against Russia? No. It'll be like, no energy for you, you know, like no soup for you. No energy. So Europe has essentially, you know, diminished industry, collapsing industry, no affordable energy, no real bandwidth to manufacture military weapons on any kind of a scale that could even come close to competing with Russia. And yet they think they're going to wage war against Russia, even if Ukraine surrenders? How is that going to work? Well, and the answer is, it's not going to work. So what's really going to happen to Western Europe here, especially if Ukraine orders these troops to lay down their arms and surrender, this is actually going to be the first domino in a total collapse of Western Europe. An economic collapse, an industrial collapse, a security collapse. Western Europe, on its current trajectory, it's done for. It's on a suicide course. And although, granted, maybe they could change course and stop it, it doesn't look like they want to. I mean, the leaders. Look at Keir Starmer. I mean, look at Macron. Look at what all these leaders are doing. They want war with Russia. So they need Ukraine to stay in the war, which means that Great Britain is willing to sacrifice more Ukrainian soldiers. In other words, you know, the UK is willing to fight to the last Ukrainian, even if it means hundreds of thousands more Ukrainians die, as long as it's a way to delay the war so that Western Europe can confiscate people's money and use it to try to build more weapons and build up a military rapidly in order to fight Russia. And let me tell you right now, that plan is going to fail miserably. I mean, there are so many reasons why. Number one, there is no land army on this earth right now, today in 2025, that has more experience and expertise than the Russian military. Nobody else even comes close. And it's because of the last 3 years of what has been happening there. I mean, Russia made a lot of mistakes early on. So did Ukraine. So did NATO. Lots of mistakes. Well, Russia has learned from those mistakes. Russia has perfected the art of land war. They really have, with drones, with even wired drones, by the way, with the fiber optic lines. They have mastered the art of war. They've developed new weapon systems, hypersonic missiles, the Oreshnik missile system, electronic warfare systems. They have really mastered the art of war. What has the UK mastered? Oh, the art of arresting their own citizens who criticize transgenders. That's what the UK is good at, is basically terrorizing their own citizens. Same thing in Germany, same thing in France. In other words, these European countries, and I know there are other countries involved, you know, I mean, Poland does have some semblance of an actual military, and they do have military bases. But by and large, the European countries have only proven how weak and pathetic they are, and how dishonest they are, and how woke they are. You know, woke armies don't win wars, it turns out. Being woke is not a great way to be effective in combat. Being woke doesn't make a strong military. Almost all of Western Europe is super woke, which means they're all going to die if they try to attack Russia. And that will only exacerbate the downfall of Western Europe. And I'm convinced that the UK in particular, because of its insane leadership, they absolutely intend to throw a bunch of British troops at Russia, thinking that they're going to win just because they're British. Well, hey, got news for you. All your propaganda narratives are just completely made up bullcrap. And the typical British soldier today is but a shadow of the Russian soldier today. It doesn't even matter if you're pro-Russia or anti-Russia, just parsing that statement that I just made. British soldiers have nothing in comparison to Russian soldiers. Look at those Russian dudes that they walked freaking 12 miles through a pipeline that's only 1.5 meters in diameter. I mean, could you even walk or crawl 12 miles through a pipeline, not even counting all the gear that you have to carry? Could you do that just with shoes and clothes on your back? The answer for most people is no. Heck, I'm not even sure I could do it. It's like, that's crazy. Russian soldiers did it carrying, 100 pounds of gear each. I mean, those are some tough dudes, okay? Just don't question the toughness, the adaptability and the resilience of the Russian troops. You don't have to love Russia. You could even hate Putin, but you can't say that his soldiers are anything less than really very impressive, dedicated fighters. And I'm telling you, if the British go up against them, the British will be slaughtered. Same thing with the French. The woke French won't last 2 weeks on the front lines with Russia. Not 2 weeks. So here's my conclusion to this. There's only one way Europe survives this. Western Europe, I'm referring to. There's only one way. And that way is to come crawling back to Putin and apologize and beg for cheap energy. Beg for Gazprom to be restored. Offer peace. Offer, guarantees of no NATO expansion. Not that anybody believes any Western countries anymore. The Russians don't believe the West because the West has zero credibility. The West just lies whenever they want. They violate the Minsk Accords whenever they want. They're just a bunch of liars. But if they go crawling back to Putin, begging for forgiveness, begging for cheap energy to rebuild their economies, they might possibly have a chance to get the gas pipelines turned back on. But, I mean, why would Putin even, at this point, why would he even offer energy to Western Europe? Why would he send energy that Western Europe plans to use to build weapons to attack Russia? Seriously. I mean, you don't have to be a grandmaster chess genius to figure out this move. Putin's best move right now is to cut off Western Europe from energy and to continue to press his military until there is some kind of a truce in Ukraine. Putin has no incentive to hand affordable energy to a subcontinent of nations that are promising to attack and destroy Russia. So I would imagine that Western Europe is not willing to beg Russia for forgiveness. They're not willing to disavow everything they've already said about wanting to attack and destroy Russia. And they're also not willing to harness their own domestic energy supplies because they're all climate lunatics. So they'll end up having to buy, liquid natural gas, LNG, from either the U.S. or the Middle East, which all sails through the Strait of Hormuz, by the way, which might not be sailable soon, depending on what Israel and Iran end up doing to each other. So if you're Western Europe, you are screwed. You are screwed under this current leadership. And the only way Western Europe gets out of this is to make peace with Russia. And do you see a scenario where Keir Starmer makes peace with Russia, where Macron apologizes, where Scholz apologizes to Russia and says, oh, we were wrong. We're so sorry. We shouldn't have provided tanks to Ukraine. Yeah, can you forgive us for that, please? So bottom line, just prepare to kiss Western Europe goodbye. Maybe there'll be a revolution of the people against their own corrupt leaders. Maybe they'll take down the pedos and the fraudsters that have been running the British government, the French government, etc. for all these decades. And maybe this will be the tipping point that actually causes a revolution. And maybe out of that will come a lot of good. Maybe Europe will set itself free from its fascist socialist ways. But I doubt it. I doubt it. Because, you know, Germany, for example, Germany is best known for making the same historic mistakes over and over and over again. You notice how for the last 100 years, Germany is always on the wrong side of history. Have you noticed that? And they're doing it again. Actually, more than 100 years. They're doing it again. Germany's always on the wrong side of history. And Germany always gets defeated. You notice that? And they're going to get defeated again. Germany is a suicide cult nation in terms of its leaders. Again, I'm not talking about the German people. But the leaders, they always have this self-destruction habit. You know, World War I, they completely destroyed themselves, right? World War II, overextended, got totally destroyed. Economy wrecked, right? And, well, going back in history, other examples before that as well, when it wasn't always like Germany as we know it today. And here we are now with Russia. You know, Germany's getting wrecked again. Germany's economy, totally wrecked. Industry, wrecked. A BASF company, wrecked. Right? Over and over again. Germany is always on the wrong side of history. And they're just proving it yet again. I mean, when Putin says he needs to denazify Ukraine, he's not kidding. You know, there are still actual, like, Third Reich Nazis left over from World War II. And they're still running around. Well, at least, I don't know, maybe not that many are left now, but for the last couple of years, they've been fighting Russia. And from what I know, I don't think Russia messes around with the Nazis. Even as Russia will, at least my understanding is, if you're a prisoner of war, if you surrender, you know, you'll have food and shelter and medical care. But if you have Nazi tattoos, I think they just take you out back and put a bullet in your head. Because they've had it with Nazis. You know, World War II and all that. Again, maybe up to 60 million Russians or Soviets at the time died at the hands of the Nazis. I don't think Russia's got any patience with Nazis. I think they just get a bullet. So probably if you're a Ukrainian soldier and you have Nazi tattoos, yeah, you probably shouldn't surrender. Because you're going to die either way, you know. If you have Nazi tattoos, you find a tattoo removal service or, I don't know, you just fight till you're dead, because if they catch you, they're going to kill you. All right, so look, I'm going to wrap this up, but I'm going to say, as graphic as this has been, this discussion, I am a strong advocate of peace. It's so disturbing to me to see how these nations, especially Western nations and NATO and the EU, are so dedicated to war and suffering and death as a means of control. They didn't hesitate to sacrifice 1 million Ukrainians to try to weaken Russia. Because these Western leaders, they don't care anything about the people that they send off to war. And that is very disturbing to me. I think that this whole business of war is a giant racket. It's almost even a satanic blood ritual of sorts, but it's also a commercial racket for the weapons manufacturers. And it's a blood ritual to cause death and suffering. And if we are going to advance as a species, we have got to move beyond this kind of insanity, which means the entire British Empire leadership has to be destroyed and dismantled, because that is where so many of the wars actually originate or get accelerated in the last several centuries. You've got to take down the British Empire leadership, not the people, but the leadership, and set the people free. And that process is actually underway, it turns out. That process is underway, and it's a positive process. And if the British Empire leadership is completely destroyed and eliminated from this realm, it will be a day of global celebration for humanity. That's how bad the British Empire is. And if anybody should be rooting for the destruction of the British Empire, it's Ukraine. Because Ukraine lost an entire generation of young men, not just young, but middle-aged men as well, maybe like two generations of men lost in Ukraine because of the UK, of British leadership. That is just unacceptable. So I pray for peace. I pray for a resolution of all these conflicts. And I pray for an end to human suffering. And I also pray for a complete dismantling of the British Empire that is the source of satanic suffering for much of our known history. So thank you for listening. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, brighteon.com. Take care. For the fact that the dollar is going to continue to erode in its value, we've got gold and silver options for you that really make a difference. This is a big deal. Let me show you a couple of things. If you go to verifiedgoldbacks.com, you can see that we have lab-tested goldbacks, or a link to the goldback company there, and we share all the lab testing reports right there. These have physical gold in them. The 50 has 51,000ths of an ounce of gold. The 1 has 1/1,000th. And this is the testing. We used a kiln, we melted it down, we dissolved it, we did ICP-MS mass spec testing, and also acid stone testing, and we verified the mass and the purity, everything. We show you all the results on this website. Here I've been collecting this, so I've got some stacks of goldbacks right here. See, this is nice to have in a collapse, because everybody loves gold. And everybody loves goldbacks because it puts gold in a format that is very easy to see. You're actually looking at the gold. When you look at this, you're seeing the gold inside the layers of polymer. There's a polymer laminate there that makes it very durable. But inside that is the actual physical gold. And if you were to melt this down, you would get a thin gold foil. Now, that's just one option for very divisible gold. We also have this as highly divisible silver. These are called prepper bars. And as you can see here, these pieces break away into parts, smaller parts. Like each one of these is 1/10th of an ounce of silver. So right there, you see the bigger chunks. Those are 1/4 ounce each. The really small chunks on the bottom, those are 1/20th of an ounce. Overall, the entire bar is about 2 ounces, and you can get them in stacks like this. And they are made in the USA. They're beautiful. They're labeled with how many grams are on each piece right there. So you can use these for trade and barter. And this is, of course, real physical silver with very high silver purity that's labeled. So these are options for divisible precious metals. You can also go to metalswithmike.com. And there's my photo from like 15 years ago. And you can, this is with the Treasure Island Company, and this is where you can request to talk with them, or you can just check out their real-time prices here on their website, and they're very competitive. They offer the universal mints, you know, the recognized mints, gold and silver coins, and also constitutional silver or so-called junk silver coins. You can get those through Treasure Island. These are all either affiliates or sponsors of our show, and we only work with them because they are trustworthy and they have kept their word. They provide secure, discreet, guaranteed delivery. They do what they say they're going to do. And when we test their products, the tests always pass. They, in other words, they have what they say that they have. And people who have gold and silver in various formats, gold coins, silver coins, gold backs, silver bars, prepper bars, all these different formats. These are the people who are going to have assets that still count. So get ready and help support us. HealthRangerStore.com and RangerDeals.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. And join me in praying for peace and praying for the restoration of our constitutional republic. Take care, everybody.